Blog Talk Radio.
What do you got that was ringing? Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, November the 20th of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Millen, Michigan. It is great to be with you, of course. It always is. And I love being with you. I really do. On this week, the start of this week, I'm giving thanks. And over the next couple of days, we'll be talking a bit about that giving of thanks. And obviously, when I think of it being called Thanksgiving, I think of it being about giving thanks to God. Now, in the United States, so many people have turned it. Now, pray to God you as a Christian haven't done it. If you're born again, spirit-filled Christian, I pray you have not just turned it into a day where it is just a day of food, oh, eating, overeating, laying down to take a nap, watch football, talk to your family members and that, and all that other stuff that goes with that, And then on Friday, the day after, shop, till your credit rating drops. Okay, hopefully it doesn't do that. But shop. It's funny. Some people will be grateful, 1 minute. A few years ago, even on the same day. Until it changed, after COVID. But used to be for a few years, people would go to Thanksgiving dinner and then would fight in a parking lot over a parking spot at the store. And then fight over a TV inside that same store. Like you go from, I thank you, to fighting. Isn't that not? I bet you some people did that, don't you?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
On the same day. On Thanksgiving Day, even. But I mean, don't be one of those that to you, that you don't really think about what the real meaning of Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving to God, not just a day where we eat turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and piled up higher than the ceiling with pie. High piled pie. I came up with that myself. I don't know how I did that, but I did.
That's a good one.
And then not think about what Thanksgiving is really about. Where, yes, there are the stories of the pilgrims and all that, and the Wampanoags and, Squanto and the different pilgrims and that. And by the way, yes, they are important. But when I think of Thanksgiving, ultimately, I think of it as giving thanks to my Lord for what he's done. And ultimately, yes, there is truth to it about it being, where they thanked God for the fall harvest and all that. And I'll bring some of that with me. By that, I mean some of those, quotes tomorrow. It was to, like, you know, the different presidents that have made declarations of Thanksgiving here in the United States, where the first Thanksgiving was in 1621. So the Mayflower landed in 1620 at Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts, which at the time was one of the 13 colonies. I hope all y'all who live in this country learned about it in school. Hopefully they're still teaching that to the kids now. I pray to God they are. If they're not, then man, I mean, they're teaching kids all this woke stuff. I have heard stories. There are kids in fourth grade who do not know their address. There are kids in fourth grade who do not know the address of their house.
What?
I'm not serious. I read an article about that online just the other day. I'm not lying either. We have kids in fourth grade who don't know the address to their house. Yet chances are they know some woke stuff. Anyhow, I think it's scary when you've got fourth graders who don't might know a lot of other things, but they don't know their street address. They don't know their parents' phone number. They don't know, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's unreal. Am I saying the kids need to lose their summers? Of course not. In my mind, it's more about who's teaching, not how long are they in the classroom. The idea of quantity is better than quality? No. Not in this case either. It's not. I mean, yes, it takes a certain amount of things, a certain amount of times to make something a habit and things like that, so like, yeah, you want, like, I would say 160 days of school or so is appropriate. You say, really, you didn't say 180? Nope, I didn't. Jade, I bet you know why I said a lower number, don't you?
Because you think it should be lower.
And longer summers, of course. Because I've said, like, you know, 12-week summer, of course, and, but anyhow, you know, but anyhow, you know, that's a problem when we have kids that don't even know their own parents' phone number. Yeah, and that should be the parents, probably, who teach that. Parents, where are you? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? Where are they? Why aren't they teaching that to their kids?
Most definitely.
Because chances are it should be your parents who are teaching you that. You know? Because what if your teachers don't know it? They should, but what if they don't? If they don't, how are they going to teach it? All right. There's that, what I was just saying. But hopefully they learn about the, the story of the pilgrims. At some point. And I think, this is what my pastor says. The doors of life, life swings on the hinges of gratitude. swings on the hinges of gratitude. Think about this. Imagine, at your house. So we'll say at my house, you know, we have doors, right? Let's just say we choose to take the hinges off. And then we'll just say we take the hinges off the doors, you know, from in my house to, you know, up to the sidewalk, like, you know, to go to the parking lot, to go to the car. And let's just say, you know, we closed the door, but I want to open it so we can go, someone else wants to open it or whatever, but there's no hinge. Opening it is not going to be an easy task. You will need a strong person or two people to open up that heavy door. It won't be easy to open it. So, well, in my own life, the doors of life, you know, it hinges on gratitude. If you have an attitude of gratitude, it's going to be a whole lot better for you than if you have an attitude that's loaded with bickering and quarreling and always screaming for this and that. And, you know, and I'm not just talking with other humans. Yes, with other humans, but even to God. I mean, you don't want to be a whiner to God and be whining, well, God, you didn't move on my behalf when I wanted you to. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. And when you're doing that kind of stuff and being ungrateful to God, guess what? You're not helping yourself when you do that. When you show God that you are not grateful. You know, we should be thankful to God for what he has done in us. You know, and yes, be thankful for what we have. Yes, be thankful. You know, if you live here in America, be thankful that you live here. Be thankful because, you know, even the poorest of us here are richer than the average person in other third world countries on other continents. Really? Yes, really. Missionaries could tell you. And by missionaries, I mean those who have been to a whole lot of other countries. Like, you know, Guatemala, Honduras, you know, many different countries in Africa. You know, Swaziland, Botswana, Uganda, and like Eritrea, and like Nigeria, Algeria, Mauritania. You know, just thinking of different country names on some of these continents. But, you know, the average person here, the poorest person, people here, are richer than the average in those other countries. Think about that. So, We're never going to hear. But ultimately, you know, you want to thank God for what he's done in you. I thank God that he saved my soul.
Amen.
Amen. We all should be thankful that he saved our soul, because guess what? That's the greatest miracle we have, is our salvation. Yeah, but my healing, and all that other stuff is awesome. I'm so grateful for that stuff. But ultimately, our salvation changed our course. So, and we can have our sins commuted. And our destiny changed from hellfire to heaven. I'd much rather be in heaven and being able to stand by my Savior and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," than to be taken outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I hear weeping and gnashing of teeth, when I hear those two back to back like that, oh, doesn't that sound wonderful? No, it doesn't. When you hear that sound of gnashing teeth, doesn't really sound appealing to me. So I'd rather go to heaven. And not suicidal or nothing at all, but as far as eternal destiny, I'd much rather be in heaven with my Savior, Jesus. And I'm thankful to him knowing that I'm heading there, you know, based on my final destiny, that is. That as long as I keep being obedient to him, you know, all that, then I'll make heaven. My maker. I want my maker, the Lord Jesus, to be able to see me and say to me, "Well done, that good and faithful servant, River Shukla. You have been faithful with a few things." That's what I plan to hear him say. Amen. Amen. I hear you. I just know that God's good. You know, I just have a thankful heart, which you should have. And for those of you know, another verse that comes to my mind for Thanksgiving, you know, a song, an old song. Don't know all the lyrics and stuff, but count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Amen.
That's one of my favorite. Well,
it's a great one. I love it. And the thing is it's so true. And that can help you be thankful. One thing we used to do when I was younger, and we'd be on the way to up to Cadillac. To my grandma and grandpa's on Thanksgiving days. We'd go around by vehicle, me, my mom, and my brother. We'd be saying things that we were thankful for. First, it would be, you know, me and my brother would be things like thankful for our house, you know, thankful to be warm, thankful for a bed, you know, and things like that, thankful to have friends, you know, things like that, things that affected us, you know, as, you know, little children. As we got older, for me, it became things like, you know, I'm thankful to be saved, thankful that I know I'm going to heaven. Because though you're great, so grateful, you know, that you have a warm bed and all that kind of stuff before your head and that kind of stuff, which is great, ultimately, what matters more is eternal. And then you start saying, like, I'm thankful that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful that I'm saved. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's ultimately what I'm thankful for.
Amen. Me too.
You know, having a roof over your head, that's great too, but ultimately, it's about, you know, so it's like, you know, and then of course, you know, spouses, parents, and that, you know. Yeah, all that too. Great. Do that. Yes. You know. Ultimately should be about, you know, you're thankful to be born again, thankful to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. We should always be thankful for that, whether it's Thanksgiving or not. Even if we're the furthest between Thanksgivings, like May. You know, I always have this thought in May or so, about late May. I always have this thought of, you know, we're halfway back to Thanksgiving and also halfway back to Black Friday. Yep, I do. Which then means, you know, in a month halfway to Christmas. Because, as they say, one thing always leads to another. And what I mean by that is I mean like the year calendar, you know. It does always lead to another because of just the way the calendar works. Is that, you know, like, you know, and around this time in November, you know, you start to get close to Thanksgiving. Then the day Thanksgiving comes. Day after that, Black Friday. I've heard that they want to rename it. Did you hear that too?
I did not. What do they want to rename it?
I don't know. I hope they don't try to rename it. And then after that, you know, comes 1st of December, and then ultimately, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you know, and all that comes with that. And then, of course, you know, New Year's Eve, and then the year is done, and the new year begins. And, you know, so, like, you know, it's like the holiday season, you know, one thing does lead to another, you know, it really does. You know, in some countries like Russia and that, they celebrate Christmas on January the 7th. Did you know that in some countries it was after the first of the year?
I did not know that.
Because I even think of this carol that we have. And so this is Christmas. And what have we done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And I thought of that like a week or so ago when I was you know, we were in the car going somewhere. I had the Christmas music on, and then I had that thought, you know, and I was thinking, well, why do we sing a song about another year old, another year over, and a new one just begun, like before Christmas? Because that's kind of what it implies.
I think so.
Christmas, what have we done? Another year over, a new one just begun. That makes it sound like it's still right before Christmas. I think that that one is referring to, possibly referring to, in all these places like Russia and that and these other countries where they do it that way. Does that make sense, that that's what it's referring to?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
But obviously here in America, most of us do not do it that way. Unless you're like a novelty or something and you make a song called January 3rd is Christmas Day. I've actually heard one that's like that, but I'll get to that if I mention it. It'll be closer to actually Christmas itself, not before Thanksgiving. Okay. Well, I want to remind you of a couple quick things before I sing a couple songs and get to Proverbs. My proverb chapter tonight. Tomorrow night, though, I'm going to forego Proverbs and go to a certain psalm that was mentioned yesterday at church. And it talks about, you know, giving thanks unto the Lord. I figured I would just let you know of that right now, because I was just thinking of that myself. Just to give you a heads up on that, all right? Amen. First thing I want to remind you about real quick is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been and how he's always been there, you know, for my family. You know, no matter what we faced, he's been there. He's been so faithful. And you know what? I know that he's not done. He's never failed me. He's not going to fail me. He'll just keep moving on my behalf. And there's no I hope about it. There's no I wish. I know. He's going to keep moving. He's not dead. I like to say this. If I am not dead, he's not done. I think if you have that motto, it can really help you. Don't you agree? If you're not dead, he's not done.
I would definitely agree with that. I think it's a very good motto to live by.
Amen. I really do, because, you know, that means and it totally makes it that, you know, we know God has us here for a reason. Regardless of how we might feel at the moment or whatever our mind might be trying to tell us, and it just helps instill that mindset of God has us here for a reason. It means he has us here for a reason. And so, you can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. That is R-I-V-E-R-S of Rivers of Miracles. You can buy the book. You know, it's about time to start doing your Christmas shopping if you haven't started. you know, unless you wait until last minute to start. I basically generally start mine in December. You know, like if my parents want to do stuff on, get stuff on Black Friday and all that, and all their thing. But me personally, when I get stuff with them, like for other people, you know, that I'm going to give people, but I'm going to gift my parents, but I'm going to gift my grandpa, that kind of stuff. I do all that in December. Are you shocked, Kate, or no?
I'm not shocked. I think most guys do start in December.
They're not even the ones who just go, okay, I'll start on Black Friday. Nope, they'll take a step further and they'll say, I'll start in December.
Yeah, I think a lot do.
Because traditionally, I feel like even in the 1990s, now if you look at some of the, I'll have to see as we approach, you know, in the next couple of days, that thing that I had seen that had the busiest shopping day of the year, going from 1993 to 2002. And in the case of that, the first couple of years of that, the busiest shopping day was, believe it or not, December the 23rd, 1993 and 1994.
Really?
Yes.
That actually very much surprises me.
It was not Black Friday. It was the first time that it was Black Friday was like 2000 or 01 or 02, out of those 10 years.
I don't know why that surprises me so much.
Well, maybe you don't remember in the 90s at all so much. I recall going to Millen Mall, the town where I live, in 1998, a Saturday before Christmas. You know, I can remember this pretty well because at 9, you're a bit more aware of different things than what you might be like at 7.
That's true.
Or 6. And I can recall going into there like at, you know, I'd say 7:30 p.m., December 19th, which would have been a Saturday. That place was packed. Target was slammed. I mean, the hallways were busy. I've seen the hallways busier than that since then, of course. You know, like for this big event we do at our mall every year called Kids Day. You know, the city where I live, they do this event called Kids Day. And then when they do trick-or-treating, you know, on Harvest Day in October, and now this event called Comic-Con that they do, I think, the first weekend of every March, stuff like that, that's busier than, like, the certain Saturday that I remember in 1998. But that place, Target at least was slammed, even at like 8:30. Then we went to Sears to get some stuff, and there was people there, like at 8:30, but it wasn't slam packed. Well, a lot of people, honestly. But you know, then I found out in '98 that the busiest that time was not the 23rd; it was Saturday before Christmas, or as people like to call it, it's been named Super Saturday. I had thought that I had came up with Super Saturday. The same year that I thought I did that, it was a real thing. That sounds like something that I would think of that it would be called Super Saturday.
It really does sound like something you would think
but,
of.
Turned out that without me hearing it, it was. Which I think is funny. That it just turned out that way because, you know, and a lot of people, some people who participate in that are obviously lots of guys, I'm sure. I think the biggest day for the guys, though, is still Christmas Eve.
I think that's very true.
yeah, like, Is it the three of you noticed that if you've been to a mall or a store on the 24th of December, that at least half the people in there are guys?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you hear all, and it's like you hear all the guys, it's like you hear all the, and all the low voices. You know, and that one got me. And it can sometimes make it sound different. It kind of depends. Unless they're just quiet.
Right.
Because I've gone in there, like, in the mall, you know, when I'm all, we have Target in there. So, like, in the past, you know, I'd walk in there, see how it was. And sometimes it could almost make it sound not busy. And it'd be busy. Did you ever see it do that before on Christmas Eve in there?
I'm not sure, honestly.
You might not know. But anyhow, you know, it, regardless of when, it's time to at least start thinking, what are you going to buy, somebody? You can go online to riversofmiracles.com and buy that book. You really, Miracle Man, you're advising me to go online and buy a book? Yeah, but you don't shop online, do you? No, I don't. I don't do the Amazon thing. I'd rather feel and hear about when I'm getting somebody. I'd rather feel it in person. And I don't know about you, but I like love, especially the last couple of years, going and seeing and feeling all the Christmas stuff.
I like to do that, too.
I do. And by the Christmas stuff, I mean, you know, all the decorations and what have you. You know, see if they, do they got some Snoopy stuff? Do you got some, you know, that they got, you know, and to watch Christmas movies and stuff. Hey, I like to say at my church that if we get out early on a Sunday night and Thursday night, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I like to say it was specifically so we could go home and watch a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I love at least thinking that. Don't you?
I do.
I like thinking, oh, he did that so we could go home and watch a Christmas movie.
Yes.
at least I like to think of it that way. I don't know how scriptural that is. Probably not. But I think it's funny nonetheless. so that we could just, you know, go home if we have a fireplace, turn the thing on, and do what? Watch a Christmas movie. You know a good one. Like I already watched my first one. It was Deck the Halls, and it was a good one.
With Tim the Toolman Taylor.
That's the one from 06, right?
I think so.
That's the one where the guy, where at one point, where the couple, one couple's upset because they can't sleep because the house is running their Christmas lights until 4 a.m.
Yeah. And then they decide not to take, like, not to do Christmas?
No, that might be, but the guy said, but then the guy says, the other neighbor who's not happy says, you want lights? I'll show you lights.
I might be thinking of a different one.
Are you might be thinking of Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Christmas
of.
With the Cranks. Ever since I saw that in 2012, here's the thing. I'm sure I've missed a year since 2012, but I try to watch that every year. I really enjoy watching that one. I really do. That's that one and the Grinch, maybe another one. Ones that I try to watch at least once per season. I'm serious. Do you have a Christmas movie like that you try to watch every season?
The Grinch with Jim Carrey.
I agree.
I love that one. And I love Elf.
Have you ever watched that? Have you ever watched a certain Christmas movie like three times in one season?
No, I can only put up with Christmas movies once one season.
What? Why?
I'm not a big movie watcher.
You're not one to sit there on that couch and watch Christmas movies?
Not really.
What? Maybe not with other movies, but at least with Christmas movies.
I'm not much at all.
Not even if they're Christmas movies?
No.
To sit there on the couch, eat popcorn. Now, if there's food involved, maybe yes.
Maybe. If there's popcorn.
Yeah.
Maybe not cocoa.
You know, maybe some eggnog.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe some eggnog. I wish there was a way to, like, find an eggnog fountain. Like how there's Coke fountains.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. But it'll be a catch. It only works from, like, I would say about, you know, November 10th or so, November 8th, November 1st even. It only works to New Year's Day, to, like, New Year's or, like, January the 15th or whatever, January
20th. That works.
So I would say it can work for about a quarter of the year, I would say.
Okay.
But the rest of the year, it won't work unless it's, like, Christmas in July. If it's Christmas in July, it works the whole month of July. And then it dispenses eggnog ice cream.
Ooh, that would be delicious.
Yeah, because some of us could use maybe some Christmas cheer in the month of July. Maybe some people who live in, like, some of the hottest cities, you know, like Houston, Texas, maybe even where it's in, not where it's, where they got a double whammy, because it's not only is it in the mid-90s every day, the humidity is up the wazoo. So like 90 versus 95, and then you 96, and then you have, the dew points are only a little bit lower than Tampa or Miami in Houston. So, like, obviously, that has a much greater effect on the dew point. I mean, the heat index in that when you add 5 degrees to it. So, makes sense why Houston would feel hotter.
Yeah.
you know, and if I was in Texas and I found this machine, the first place the first city I would place that machine in would be Houston.
You think so?
Or Dallas. Or a place like, or here where I live even, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I think it could be a hit in July. I do. Because eggnog and ice cream could go really good together. Or how about eggnog cookies and cream?
Ooh.
I like that.
Sound good. Sugar cookies and cream.
Yeah, yep, eggnog Christmas cookies and cream, yes. I like that, like with the little, that really does sound good. But anyhow, so you can go online, get the book, you know, and then you can have a glass of eggnog in my honor. While you do that, you can toast to buy the book. Toast. Yeah, you can toast. We can play a game. You take a sip of eggnog for every soul you got saved because they got the book.
Amen.
I like that.
I like it.
because then we can do an eggnog toast for it because it's his birthday. And I think he made eggnog. And I know people will say this thing about, you know, this thing about eggnog will use alcohol. But the stuff I get from the store, no. He just drank that. I like to say Jesus made that. And so he would want us to have a little sip of eggnog when we know, you know, around his birthday time. Okay, but nonetheless, I think it's pretty cool. Go online, riversofmiracles.com, and, you know, grab a book for yourself, you know, if you haven't read it yet. And while you do that, why not get another one and give it away as a Christmas gift, because, you know, that'd be so cool. Someone giving their life to Jesus at Christmas. Because after all, it's his birthday. It's not yours, unless you were born around that time. The other thing I want to remind you about real quick is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. I do not tell you what to give. It's up to you. Nope, I am totally no pressure. No pressure. Read my lips, but I'm not H.W. Bush, you know, from what he said in the 90s. But I actually mean this. Read my lips. No pressure. If you weren't paying attention to that when he said that in the late 80s, early 90s, don't worry about it. I wasn't, but I found out what it was about. No pressure. If this has been a blessing, I pray it has been. Go online to PayPal so you see the Miracle Man program. As you do that, there's a couple things I want you to keep in mind. First off, there is, when you have an website, you know, a couple of spelling things, you'll type in my name, Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind also, first of all, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind, if you would please, the first S in Shukla. Now, the first R in Rivers, capitalized. The S in Shukla, capitalized. Please, if you would, make a note of that, please. I would appreciate that very much. I really would. The verse I want to sell to you tonight, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen and amen. And I pray over your seed when I get notification that you've sown. Now, I'm going to sing a couple songs. First one, I'm going to sing, totally captures the heart of, giving thanks. So here we go. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am filled. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the because he's given Jesus Christ for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the cross to the grave, to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh, oh. Lord, I lift your name on high. How I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Yes. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. We give thanks and honor and glory to you. Thank you for how great you are. Thank you for what you've done for us, for what you've started, for what you're going to do, and what you're doing right now. Give thanks and honor and glory to you for it. Thank you, Jesus. But we can know right from wrong. Thank you, Jesus, that you go before us. You hem us in. Thank you, Lord God, that we can be forgivers. Thank you, Lord God, that you show us your ways. We don't have to do things our own way. We can choose your way. I thank you, Lord God, that you would help us with that. And now, Lord God, I thank you for every listener who who has tuned into this program. I thank you that you meet their needs tonight. You know what they need tonight when I don't. You know what they need. Thank you that you heal their bodies. You strengthen their mind. You thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bless them with and meet every need that they have, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord God, that you can meet these needs that are represented tonight. Because I know you can do it, and I know you will do it. And now, thank you for this time in your word tonight. Thank you that these listeners have ears that are prepared to hear this word, that they will be prepared to do your word and not just be those that hear it. And I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors come into this program. I thank you that money comes into this program. Thank you that more and more listeners tune into this program all the time. Most importantly, I thank you for a huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen. I want you to go with me, if you got your Bible, please, to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to look at chapter 9. I'm going to start with verse 1. Thank God for the Word of God. What would we do without it, especially in this day and age?
Be lost.
When we live in the maze of the last days, and we have the Word of God to help us. Thank you, Jesus, for that. No, I'm not lost. I was just taking a sip of water. Chill out. So you were like, what is he doing? I was taking a sip of water. Okay. Chapter 9, verse 1. For those of you who beat me, oh well. You lost. I'm there. Verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her maids, and she has called from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come eat my food and drink what I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Of the Holy One is understanding. For through men, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Turning the page. The Woman, Folly, is loud. She is on, she is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Still water is sweet. It says stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. So you think about this. You can choose. Are you going to be wise? We talk about, when we're talking about this, we're talking about the God kind of wisdom. We're not talking about natural wisdom, you know, don't eat too many chocolates so you will become like chocolate, like from the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. Folks, this is not some Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing where those who follow the instructions get rewarded and those who don't. It's not like that. Is it, Jade? It's not like that.
No, it definitely is not.
But, you know, wisdom and folly. According to this, you know, I think of like the wisdom of like coming from God. I mean, it is. We're talking about the God kind of wisdom. God says, leave your simple ways. Leave your life of sin. Come in here. Get correction. Get understanding. Get what I have for you. In today's day and age, he would say, get in the Word. And if you've been going back and forth between wisdom and folly, stop. In this day and age, we can't be doing this gray zone thing. You say, what do you mean gray zone? Well, this is not a day where you can teeter-totter, be in the kingdom for a while and out for a while, in for a while, out for a while. Not saying that you should have, just saying that it was different. Because obviously no pastor would want you to teeter-totter. I'm the miracle man. I would not want you to teeter-totter and go back and forth. You say, what do you mean by back and forth? Well, by that I mean this. Coming in here, going to the house of God, being baptized, giving your tithes, forgiving your brothers, all that kind of stuff. And then and then went back out there in the world and carouse. Smoke, drink, and then went back in here and, you know, repent, give your tithes and offerings, smile and grin, say amen, run back out there, carouse, you know, and all that, then come back in here and get baptized again. No, can't be doing that. Can't be going back and forth. Because that can hurt you if you're doing that. It really can hurt you. So, in this day and age, you want to stay in the kingdom and not be falling away. Not be given into folly. You know, and let the word of God deal with you. You know, and, you know, you got to pay attention. You know, because that God kind of was. And that God kind of wisdom, you know, gives thanks to God. If you're wise in the eyes of God, you will be thankful to him. You know, I've been thinking about those 10 lepers. We'll just say they had a little reunion. My Bible does not say that they had a reunion. We'll just say they did. And we'll just say, you know, after they all get, you know, free of leprosy, we'll just say they have a full reunion, you know, in town, maybe out of town, wives, possibly kids, maybe even some grandchildren, all come to the little get-together, doodly-doohickey, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, their little party, their little banquet, their little whatever. And one guy stands up. He talks about, well, I went back and thanked Jesus. And as a result of thanking him, I became not just cleansed of my of the leprosy, but I was completely made whole and completely restored, as if there was no trace of the leprosy being in my body. As if we were to go look at the doctor, and the doctor were to say, we can't even find any trace of where there was damage to your body in terms of the leprosy. Or it's for sure. Can't be found in your body. And it would show, you know, he totally healed completely. And made you, and he didn't just get healed. He got restored. The other 9 just got healed. They didn't thank God. They could have. Maybe they thanked give them their heart or something, but they didn't come back and do it. When God moves on your behalf, you got to thank him. You got to be able to thank him and mean it. Thank you, Jesus, can oftentimes just become a cliche thing that Christians do. I mean, I'd rather say thank you, Jesus, than say, you know, some other things. But when you say it to him, you better mean it. I thank the Lord for his wisdom. And, you know, it's about his kind of wisdom. The kind of wisdom that I'm speaking of tonight, the kind of wisdom that we're looking at, and as we continue to go through Proverbs, we'll learn more about is that understanding. That's about the God kind of understanding, the God kind of wisdom. Not just like understanding how this works, understanding how that works, understanding how that works, and gain knowledge and that. And, you know, obviously if you're looking to be, you know, certain high paid careers, you know, you go to school to gain knowledge on that kind of thing. You know, and you learn about that kind of thing, you know, like if you want to be in anything medical, like a doctor or something, you go to medical school. You go to, you know, a Christian, you go to that kind of school. If you go to, you know, this other thing, you will go to that kind of school. But we're talking about the things of God. But, you know, God loves us. And it's about his kind of wisdom. Not about his kind of wisdom. Not our own kind of natural wisdom. Because obviously, don't we know this? Our own natural wisdom has limits. Our own natural wisdom has limits, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
But God can go far beyond that. His kind of wisdom, his spirit. And he can show us things that us ourselves might not see or feel. Amen. And I know that's true. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that we would get this word in us and that we would stop being foolish, those of us who might be fooled in your eyes, and really get to being more wise about you and about your things. And I thank you for that in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, in terms of sports, you had Michigan with a win over Indiana Saturday, 31-24. Excuse me. Wrong team. But, yes, Michigan did get the win over Maryland 31-24 on Saturday in Maryland. For Michigan, if you look at all-time wins, that was win number 1,000, a huge milestone. a huge milestone. I don't think anyone else has had 1,000 wins. No. Not if you're the winningest program in all of in the history of college football. Did you know that Michigan is the winningest coach in high school football?
I did not.
Well, we are. With Michigan's the winningest team, believe it or not. Even though maybe in the last 25 years or so, it might not seem like it. It might seem more like a team to the south has that. Dun, dun, dun. I will not name who that is because this week we play them on Saturday. You know exactly who it is, don't you?
That I do.
It's the team that plays in the horseshoe. Because remember I said sweet dreams of the horseshoe?
Mm-hmm.
You knew where I'm at by the horseshoe, didn't you?
I did.
That stadium in Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the friends couch, and you got two student sections. Theirs.
Right.
Of course. You had a feeling it wasn't theirs, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Eating Waffle House.
Oh, yeah.
Eating Waffle House on the friends couch. Yes. But nonetheless, in reality, so Michigan did beat Maryland 31-24. Now they got to play that team to the south. Tomorrow night I will have my prediction for that for y'all as to what I think will happen there. Oh, by the way, that team to the south did handily beat Minnesota. They've only had one close game, and that was they played Notre Dame. Michigan State did beat Indiana 24-21. Wasn't always pretty, but Michigan State got it done. Yay! That's four wins. Now if they can find a way to win one more game and beat Penn State, then they can at least end a rough season on a happy note. And then they can be 5-7, which obviously it's not what they would have wanted to be, but it'll be better than what it could have been. Okay. Then Lions, good win. 34-28. They were down by 10 points yesterday to the Bears with about 4 minutes left. But they got her done at Ford Field against the Bears. On Thanksgiving, they have to play the same team again on Thanksgiving, the Bears, on Thursday at 12:30. I will bring that prediction as well tomorrow night as to what I predict. Or I confess Psalm 91 over those traveling tonight, tomorrow. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there would be no drug or drunk driver, no texting driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no terrorist. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy, prosperity, safety, and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.